Future for America, and July 18, 2020, number 4, 1863. The message of Daniel chapters 8 and 9, which are represented by the Ulai River, were unsealed in 1798. The prophecy of chapter 8 was interpreted in chapter 9 by Gabriel, but not until Daniel had set forth a prayer that is considered one of the most significant human prayers in the Bible. In that prayer, Daniel identifies that he had recognized that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years, according to what he had discovered in the book of Jeremiah. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel 9:1-2. Jeremiah also identified that at the end of those 70 years, Belshazzar would die as Cyrus the general of Darius conquered Babylon. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. Jeremiah 25, verse 11-12. Daniel also identified that the 70 years of desolation was a fulfillment of a prophecy recorded by Moses. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Daniel 9:11-13. The oath that Israel had broken, which produced the curse, was the seven times of Leviticus 26. The word translated as seven times in Leviticus 26 is the same Hebrew word that is translated as oath in Daniel 9. Moses' oath, represented by the word translated as seven times, is the first time prophecy discovered by William Miller, and it was the first of his foundational truths that was set aside in 1863. William Miller represented Elijah, and this is confirmed by the spirit of prophecy. Thousands were led to embrace the truth preached by William Miller, and servants of God were raised up in the spirit and power of Elijah to proclaim the message. Early writings. 3. In 1863, the Millerite movement ended as those who had formerly been in the movement started the Seventh-day Adventist Church. When they began as a church, the movement ended. It ended when they slew Moses, as represented in the seven times of Leviticus 26, and when they simultaneously slew Elijah, the messenger that had presented the oath of Moses to the movement. Moses and Elijah were both slain in 1863 and were not to be resurrected until post-September 11, 2001, when God took the movement Future for America back to the old paths. Future for America recognized September 11, 2001 as the arrival of the third woe, and what establishes that the identification of Islam's attack on September 11th was the history of the first two woes as identified by the Millerites, which is specifically represented upon both the 1843 and 1850 pioneer charts. By returning to Millerite history to uphold the modern role of Islam, the Lord then opened Future for America's understanding of the seven times of Leviticus 26, which is graphically represented on both charts in the center column. And in both charts, the center of the center column is the cross. When God directed in the production of both of Habakkuk's tables, he made sure that the oath of Moses, the seven times of Leviticus 26, was the center of all the other prophetic illustrations, and that on both tables Christ was placed in the very center. This agreed with a period of time located in another prophecy that was interpreted by Gabriel in chapter 9 of Daniel, which identified that Christ would confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Daniel 9:27. A prophetic week is 2520 symbolic days, and the prophecy that Gabriel was explaining identified that in the midst or center of those 2520 symbolic days, Christ would be crucified. Christ is the center of the 2520 on both of Habakkuk's tables, and also the week he confirmed the covenant with many. In 1863, Adventism began as a church, and the Millerite movement that had been empowered with the spirit of Elijah was slain. The Millerite movement understood that in the context of the seven churches of Revelation, they had been the Philadelphian church. Those that separated from them after the great disappointment of 1844 were then identified as Laodiceans. In 1856, James White began a series of articles in the Review and Herald identifying that the movement that began as Philadelphia had become Laodicea, and that the members needed then to seek the remedy offered to the Laodicean church. In the same year, in the same publication, James White published a series of articles written by Hiram Edson about the 2520-year prophecy of Leviticus 26. The articles were never finished. When the Lord led the movement of Future for America back unto the old paths post-September 11, 2001, the articles by Edson were rediscovered. And for the first time in history, both of the period's 2520 years were recognized as two curses, one against the northern 10 tribes and the other against the southern 2 tribes. Miller had identified the 7 times against the southern kingdom of Judah, but Edson identified the 7 times against the northern kingdom of Israel. Future for America saw that they both were to be applied. When the two scatterings are combined, they produce prophetic light that had never been recognized by Miller or Edson. When the Lord returned Future for America to the old paths post-2001, the oath of Moses came back to life and stood upon its feet. The message connected with the oath was then presented by the messengers of the third angel as it had been presented and typified by the messengers of the first angel. Future for America was a movement that proclaimed the message represented by Moses in the power of Elijah, and Elijah clearly gave the testimony of Moses until the conclusion of a series of presentations titled Habakkuk's Tables, which finished around 2012. When that series of presentations ended, the beast from the bottomless pit ascended to make war upon Moses and Elijah. That warfare began when Future for America determined to stop the work it had been doing since 1996 and begin a school which in its pride it called the School of the Prophets. Better it would have been to call the school of the false prophets. The chaos and confusion that ensued when the school began allowing those who had never been confirmed by the Lord as his messengers to introduce their own ideas ended with the death of Future for America on July 18, 2020. At that point, Moses and Elijah had been slain in the streets. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Revelation 11:7-8. The testimony that is trustworthy is the testimony that ended at the conclusion of the series titled Habakkuk's Tables. Then the beast attacked. I have no idea who is following these current articles, but I assume it's made up as much by the enemies of Future for America as it is by those who are still trying to come to terms with the disappointment of July 18th. I therefore expect that those that are in the category I define as enemies will point out how self-serving this application of prophetic history appears to be in their minds. So be it. Time is too short to pretend that the history of Future for America is not clearly identified as the movement that has been typified by the Millerite movement, and it is too short to pretend that the flawed Laodicean human messenger that was raised up to lead out in that movement was not typified by William Miller. Miller was a Philadelphian, and I came into Adventism from the world in 1975. thus am a certified Laodicean Adventist. My life history testifies to that fact. That being said, the merciful God of heaven has recently instructed me to put the message he is now revealing into writing and send it to the churches. His instruction came with the promise that when he resurrects Moses and Elijah, they will be resurrected as Philadelphians, not as Laodiceans. The movement that began in the Millerite history was the time of Philadelphia, that ultimately transcended into Laodicea in 1856, when it began the process of its rejection of the foundations laid by the Millerites. The rejection began with the setting aside the new development of light offered through the pen of Hiram Edson. 7 years later, in 1863, the movement of Elijah, which had presented the message of Moses, was slain. At the same time the movement was slain, a church was introduced to replace the movement. Moses and Elijah were slain at the beginning of Adventism, and they were slain again at the ending of Adventism. At the ending of the prophetic Laodicea, in 1989, the vision of the Hittical River was unsealed, and a movement began that was born of a Laodicean mother. The Lord was not taken unaware, and he knew that he would finish his work of the three angels as he began it. He would end it with a movement of Philadelphians, just as he began it. And in order to do this, the movement that was Laodicean by birth would need to be slain and resurrected as Philadelphians. In doing so, the movement that was brought out of the Laodicean church would become the eighth, that is, of the seven, in the very history where the threefold union would become the eighth, that is, of the seven. And in the very same history, the horn of republicanism will also experience a resurrection of the eighth that was of the seven and had been slain by the wokeism of Egypt and Sodom. But that line of prophecy will be addressed later in the articles. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. Revelation 11:9-11. Future for America did not get put into the grave. It just laid there in the street where it had been slain, while its enemies rejoiced over its apparent death. Yet, after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. Time is no longer. So the 3.5 days is symbolic of 1260 days, or years, that in Revelation 12, verses 6 and 14 represent the wilderness where the sanctuary and the host were trodden down. If they had been put into the grave, they would not be in a street where they could be trodden down. The treading down of Future for America is not only a symbolic period, but it is the symbolic period of the message of the seven times represented by the oath of Moses. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Luke 21:24. There are three times Jerusalem has been trodden down, first by Babylon from 677 BC until 607 BC. The second trampling down was by pagan Rome from AD 66 until AD 70. The third time was by spiritual Rome from 538 through to 1798. The treading down of Jerusalem by the Gentiles, identified in Luke 21, was the 1260 years of papal rule. Revelation 11, where we find the testimony of Moses and Elijah, opens with the identification of that period of time. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. Revelation 11:1-2. The command for John to measure the temple and the worshippers therein represents the opening of the judgment in 1844. For the previous two verses identify John as having experienced the bitterness of the great disappointment in 1844. Then after he is told that he must repeat the work of proclaiming the message, verse 1 of chapter 11 identifies that judgment has just begun. The time has come when everything is to be shaken that can be shaken, that those things that cannot be shaken may remain. Every case is coming in review before God, for he is measuring the temple of God and the worshippers therein. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works. I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast lost thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove the candlestick out of his place. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against thee with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving him that receiveth it. The 1888 Materials, 11:16. As John is representing the opening of the investigative judgment in 1844, he is told to leave off the courtyard of the temple, for it is given to the Gentiles who would trample down the holy city for 1260 years. Luke 21 identifies that the Gentiles would trample down Jerusalem until the times of the Gentiles was fulfilled. John in chapter 11 has just identified that the time of the treading down of Jerusalem by the Gentiles was the history of 538 until 1798. John identifies this period twice in chapter 12 as the wilderness, a period of time that the church fled into to avoid the persecution being brought by the Pope. When Moses and Elijah are slain and left in the street to be trodden down for a period of 3.5 days, the three previous histories when Jerusalem was trodden down are to be understood as typifying that period of time. In Luke 21, the Gentiles would tread down the holy city until the times of the Gentiles would be fulfilled. Thus, Luke identifies more than one time of the Gentiles, but we know the time of the Gentiles being fulfilled was 1798. The first time of the Gentiles began in 723 BC, when the northern kingdom of Israel was trodden down by Assyria. That treading down began a trampling down by a pagan power and continued until 538, when the papal power carried on the work until 1798. Paganism scattered and trampled down literal Israel, and papalism scattered and trampled down spiritual Israel. The times of the Gentiles represent the 2520 years of Leviticus 26 that represents two periods of treading down. The first was carried out by paganism as represented by Assyria, then Babylon, then pagan Rome. Then the second desolating power that Miller identified in the sacred framework of prophecy he employed was papalism, which would continue the treading down until 1798. The treading down of both paganism and papalism is the very question that is raised in the heavenly dialogue that produces the answer that is the foundation and central pillar of Adventism. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? And he said unto me, Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Daniel 8:13-14. The angel Gabriel and other angels led Miller to understand that the daily represented paganism and that the transgression of desolation represented papalism. Both paganism and papalism would trample down the sanctuary and host. Therefore, the times of the Gentiles, which Luke refers to, is the two trampling down periods of 1260 years. That together are the seven times of Leviticus 26. The message of the oath of Moses was slain in 1863, along with the messenger Elijah, who had presented the message of Moses. Both the message of Moses and the Elijah messenger was resurrected post September 11, 2001. After the message of Moses that was once again proclaimed by Elijah, they were both slain and then left in the street and not buried for 1260 days, is a direct connection to the message of the seven times that Daniel calls the oath of Moses. The movement and the messenger that repeats the Elijah message of Moses as typified by Miller and the Millerites will ultimately stand upon its feet and thereafter be resurrected. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Revelation 11:11-12. 11, 11,